drives it down the left wing, and the whistle blows for full time. Atlanta United seldom has had a match like this. In fact, not ever in franchise history have they lost by four goals. But they concede in the 5th, 22nd, 26th, and 45th minute this afternoon. Miguel Almiron misses a penalty kick in the second half, and Atlanta United opens the 2018 season with a 4-0 defeat.
I can't remember even a 30-minute stretch where Atlanta United played with so little confidence as we saw for most of the match today. Atlanta United players applauding their fans. It's a great effort from the 17s in the stands today. Players on the field were not able to match the effort of the fans in the stands today.
So Atlanta United 0-1-0 in the 2018 season, 0 points. Houston Dynamo with 3 early points as they go to 1-0-0. And Atlanta United will play next Sunday their home opener against DC United at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Houston Dynamo will take their 1-0 record into a home match a week from today against Vancouver Whitecaps. Vancouver, will open their season tomorrow. More to come from Houston in a moment. The final again, Houston Dynamo 4, Atlanta United 0 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's a long season, 34 matches in MLS plus all the U.S. Open Cup and all of that, but this was not a good way to start. It's still a very long way to go, nowhere to go but up if you want to look at the glass half full, but a 4-0 defeat this afternoon for the Five Stripes here in Houston to Houston Dynamo, and Atlanta United, quite frankly, was never in the match. They conceded in the 5th minute, and the Avalanche really continued from there. Mike Conti and Jason Longshore at BBVA Compass Stadium in Houston. The man of the match brought to you by Heineken. I really don't know if we could pick a qualified Atlanta player for that, but boy, for Houston Dynamo, Albert Ellis is going to have one heck of a year in MLS if he continues to produce at this level.
La Panterita, the Black Panther, he showed what he can really do in this league today. Fast, strong, powerful, technique. He's really the complete package. And what I think you need to take out of a match like this today, a lot of people around MLS and around the country have talked about the amount of money Atlanta United has spent to build this squad. Houston is at the bottom of payroll in this league, and they've built an incredibly exciting team. It's really disappointing for me to see that it wasn't a full house today, because this team deserves it. They are a blast to watch. They're explosive. And I know there were some bad years before last year here in Houston, but this team is among the best in the league.
Certainly based on what we saw today, no doubt about it.
Last season, too. They really showed that if they get to where Wilmer Cabrera wants to take them, where they can slow the pace down a bit, where they can control possession a little bit more, they're dangerous. I mean, they're an MLS Cup winning type of team. They have great balance.
Well, Albert Ellis had 6 shots, 3 of them on goal today. 2 assists, was not among the 4 goal scorers, but he is our man of the match. Brought to you by Heineken. As we look at the match statistics, each team had 13 shots on the game, but Houston had 10 of them on goal, Atlanta just 2. Atlanta with 27 crosses to Houston's 18. Atlanta fouled 10 times. Houston 8, Atlanta was offsides twice, Houston once. 8 corner kicks for Houston Dynamo, Atlanta United with 4. 3 yellow cards for Atlanta United, 2 LGP, McCann, and Gressel. And each team being credited with 11 clears. Obviously, some of these stats are a little bit ambiguous in the eyes of the official scorekeeper here at Houston. But the statistics don't belie really the dominant nature at which Houston Dynamo executed this match today. The goals in the first half, all of them, 5th minute, 22nd minute, 26th minute, and the 5th added minute of the first half. Now, Ellis may be our man of the match. I think for a lot of 17s who may have just kind of casually watched the match, certainly those who are following along on Twitter, they may come to the conclusion that no one played well today. for Atlanta United, but I'm not so sure that would be a fair takeaway, because there were a few players that stood out as being at least not harmful to the cause today.
Yeah, what's interesting about this one is you lose 4-0, but you look at the back line, and it honestly wasn't that bad. Leandro Gonzalez-Pires struggled before the injury. It was his misread on the first goal that caused it, and Brad Kazan and LGP were not in sync there. LGP, I think, thought the ball was going to run over the end line and at least just ran around him and beat him to the spot. Michael Parker came in and played well, subbing in for LGP. I thought Jeff Lorenowitz was solid at center back today. Garza really overmatched physically with Elise. Escobar had some moments good, some moments bad. Looked pretty good defending in possession. He looked like he wasn't sure of himself. And that's the concern for me with this team right now going forward. I thought Chris McCann was honestly okay. Twitter disagrees with that right now. Chris McCann was the source of a lot of consternation going into the week after some up-and-down performances in preseason. But I thought he was fine today. I don't think you can really fault him on any of the goals. Maybe a marking assignment. We're not sure of the marking on the set pieces. It was a little hard to tell from our vantage point. But from the run of play, Chris McCann was not at fault on the goals. And he was completing some passes. He stepped forward, created a chance. It was really the attack that just was incredibly disjointed today. No confidence, no chemistry, really no swagger. And that's what we expect out of this team.
Also want to point out, by the way, Brad Kazan is being credited with 6 saves today. The franchise record is 7, set by Alec Kahn last year. But we had mentioned at halftime, Kuzan made 2 or 3 really big stops in the first half where this could have easily been a 6-0, maybe even a 7-0 scoreline at halftime. It was really that bad. So Mr. Clean Sheet, I'm sure, not pleased with conceding 4 goals. I don't think you could really say any of them was his fault. In fact, he kept it from being a lot worse. I know we're getting a lot of questions on Twitter. We will get to them. But I want to go back to a point, Jason, that you made in the final couple minutes of the match, that the loss of Barco and the kind of sudden nature in which it happened, where you find out on Tuesday he injures a quad and he's going to be out for a month, I'm wondering if that may have deflated this Atlanta United side a little more than we perceived at the time.
It really seemed like it, because from the opening minute today, it looked like the confidence wasn't there. And you can chalk some of that up to missing Barco. You can chalk some of that up to Tito Villalba, you know, not playing 90 minutes in preseason. He didn't look like he was in sync today. Miguel Almirón, Joseph Martinez, not quite as fluid as we got used to seeing last year. That's the thing about this team is, you know, the branding has been fast and fluid. Today, they didn't look fast going forward, constantly playing sideways or back, and it didn't look fluid. It looked kind of stilted. It looked kind of like they were, you know, double-thinking themselves at different points, and it just wasn't the fluid soccer we expect out of Atlanta United. I think they were starting to find that with Barco. In that match against Minnesota in the Carolina Challenge Cup, you could see Barco and the rest of the team growing in confidence the longer that match went on. And now that's gone, and you have to start over.
As far as the lineup that Tata deployed today, putting Almirón on the wing, moving Gressel to the number 10, based on what you saw today, is that something that you anticipate will change next Sunday against DC?
I think it changes, because they never used it effectively. When I saw Almirón on the left wing and you look at Houston's lineup and see Kevin Garcia at right back, you think, okay, we're going to feed Miguel Almirón all day, get him 1v1 with Kevin Garcia, try to get him in behind Kevin Garcia and use his speed. Never saw that today. Not one time did we see Atlanta try to go direct vertically over the top and let Martinez and Almirón and Villalba run at this back line, Garcia being the youngest of the back line, the other 3 guys over 30 and not fast. We didn't give Martinez, Almirón, and Villalba chances, and Almirón especially. If he's going to play out wide, feed him out wide. Otherwise, he needs to be central.
All right, 17s, keep your questions coming to us on Twitter at Longshoe, at Mike Conti 929, and at ATL Soccer 1-800-919-929. We will be getting to your questions as we continue on with the full-time report live from Houston. A rough start to the 2018 season for Atlanta United as they fall to Houston Dynamo 4-0. We'll have the scoring summary and the highlights right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to the full-time report
with Mike Conti and Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta United takes a 4-0 loss to Houston Dynamo to open up their 2018 MLS regular season. As we continue with the full-time report, let's go through the match highlights and the scoring summary. And the goals came early and often for Houston Dynamo. In fact, in the fifth minute, they got on the board, and this really deflated Atlanta United before the match even got going when Andrew Wagner from Lititz, Pennsylvania, 27 years old, scored the first goal of the season for Houston Dynamo. Running on hard down the left side is Wagner, and now here's a chance for Houston as it slid into the box and punched in. And Houston takes a 1-0 lead on the goal by Andrew Wagner in the fifth minute. Not that long after that, Brad Guzan made the first of two big saves he would have in the first half. Like I said, it could have easily have been a 6 or even 7-0 scoreline in the first half in favor of Houston Dynamo. This is the hot play of the match brought to you by Scana. Atlanta United will try to start back. A steal, though, at midfield, and here comes Minotis in alone on a breakaway. Right side of the box, shoots. What a save by Guzan. Corner kick. It was a beautiful save by Guzan on that breakaway, but unfortunately, Brad can only do so much. It was some very undesirable defending, we'll just put it that way, for Atlanta United on set pieces, and as the run of play continued in the first half. At the 22nd minute, Philippe Senderos, 33-year-old from Switzerland, gave Houston Dynamo a 2-0 lead. And here's the kick played short by Garcia to Alexander, back to Garcia, slings it into the box, header, Senderos, score! Philippe Senderos on the header, and Atlanta United in a deep hole, trailing 2-0. Senderos only played two matches last year in MLS and did not score. He scores in the first 22 minutes of this match. This afternoon, 4 minutes later, Houston Dynamo made it a 3-0 lead. Garcia plays it in quickly, right to the top of the 18, and here's another opportunity for Wagner, who's taken down to the box, and then it's chipped into the goal anyway by Eric Alexander. 3-0, Houston Dynamo. I called that as Eric Alexander incorrectly. It was actually Mauro Minotis, who had 10 goals last year for Houston Dynamo in 33 games. That goal in the 26th minute gave Houston Dynamo a 3-0 lead, and Houston Dynamo just kept the pressure up in the first half. They never really retreated or tried to bunker anything, not in the first half. And then with 7 minutes of added time in the first half, 5 minutes into that added time, it was a substitute, Darwin Serrin, who gave Houston Dynamo a 4-0 lead. And all to the right of Guzan. Here's the kick by Garcia, played to the far post. Guzan got a hand on it, loose ball, chopped towards the goal and in. Darwin Serrin. This is a rout. And Atlanta United would be down 4-0 to Houston Dynamo at halftime. Atlanta United spent the full length of halftime in the clubhouse, came out right as the second half was about to begin, so Lord knows what the discussion was in there and if Tata was really getting into them. But Atlanta United did play with a little more fire in the early moments of the second half, but then a deflation. Joseph Martinez draws a penalty kick, and Miguel Almiron cannot convert. Almiron standing, strides up to it, shoots off the post, and cleared over the byline by Serrin. It's been that kind of day. And from there, neither team really had any great scoring opportunities the rest of the way. 4-0 the final. Houston Dynamo, as we said earlier, they start the season 1-0-0 with 3 points. Atlanta United is 0-1-0. No wins, one loss, no draws. I know I'm kind of Americanizing that. I know in soccer they give you the wins, the draws, and the losses, but I'm going to say they're 0-1-0 for more casual listeners. Obviously, no points. A -4 in the goal differential. It's extremely unlikely goal differential is going to come into play for anything in the postseason, but that is something just to note. Three Atlanta United players went into the book. LGP in the 32nd minute, McCann in the 34th, and Gressel in the 7th minute of added time in the first half. So that's something to keep in mind as Cards will carry over with 33 matches still to go in MLS. So, I mean, the highlights probably, if you're just kind of coming into the match, or maybe you watched on Univision and now you'd like some English language commentary, that pretty much tells the story. It was all Houston Dynamo in the first half, and then all they really had to do was sit back.
Yeah, those were painful listening to them again. We really didn't have to do that. It was one of these days where everything that can go wrong did. And it's tough when you look at the stats. And stats aren't always the best way to tell anything about a soccer match. But when you look at these stats, you would not look at the stats and then look at the scoreline and think they're from the same match. Atlanta United had the possession. Same number of shots both ways. Not an overwhelming number of turnovers. But what happened with Atlanta United today is their turnovers were in very bad spots. And then in the attack, they really seemed to hesitate too often. So the question is for Tata Martino and for the staff as they go into training this week, what is going to change that? What's going to change the confidence on the ball? What's going to make this team play faster? What's going to give them that spark? And there was a question that I think is a very good one from Alyssa Martin, one of our longtime listeners, a question about the substitutions in the second half. Why Kratz for Nagby and not Carlton? Match was out of reach, and it would seem a good time to get him some minutes. It would seem a good time to get a player on who can give you that spark as well. So that would be a question. I've not been on the Andrew Carlton must-start hype train. You know, I'd like to bring him along slowly and ease him in. Today was an example where you could have eased him in if he made mistakes. It wasn't going to hurt you at this point. So I was surprised by that substitution especially. That one I didn't expect.
It feels like, or at least it felt like, in the waning days of the preseason, really more so the Charleston match, I guess, than anything else. And you can kind of throw it away because it was mostly second-teamers. But I just got the feeling that in the attack, there still wasn't that chemistry, that cohesion, that Atlanta United may have tried to play a little too perfectly, and that the precision just was not there. And I feel like you really saw it today, didn't you?
Yeah.
Where there was just that lack of precision. Now, again, benefit of the doubt, you know, Vajaba has played very, very little in the exhibition season because he had the abductor strain, so he missed a lot of time in training camp. You don't have Barco, who's supposed to be that engine down the wing right now.
That spark.
So this is why I would advise maybe it's a little too early to panic because there's still such a long way to go in this, but I was distressed to see just that there's not a lot of precision right now up front.
Yeah, and it's what happens when a team plays tight. You know, it's not just a lack of precision. It's that hesitation. It's that lack of decisiveness. Last year, when this team was flying in their run of games at the Benz, they were playing very fast. They were taking chances. They were taking risks. Today, it felt like they were making more mistakes because they were playing very tight. And that's not how this team needs to play. It's not how Miguel Almiron plays his best. It's not how Joseph Martinez and Tito Villalba play their best. They need to be loose. And I think Ezequiel Barco brings you that because he's not afraid to take people on 1v1 and make something special happen. I think Andrew Carlton could have given you that late today. And I know there's a concern about, you know, putting too much on him too soon. Today was a match where he could have seen some minutes, and I don't think it would have had an effect either way on his psyche.
Mentally, I know it must be really, really tough when you concede on the road
right. As
early as Atlanta United conceded this afternoon in the 5th minute, and then the avalanche kind of started from there. What I'm surprised, though, about, Jason, is that Atlanta United's got veterans on this team. I mean, I know Parkhurst wasn't on the field at the time, but you've got Parkhurst. You've got Larenowitz, who's 34 years old. Guzan's a veteran. I'm just surprised that there might have been a little bit less mental toughness today than you would have liked to have seen after conceding that early goal.
Something else I'm going to take out of this is that Jeff Larenowitz playing in the midfield as the number 6 is vital.
Yeah.
It's vital. And that's not even a knock on Chris McCann or Darlington Nagby playing in holding midfield today. It's the fact that Jeff Larinowicz, you have confidence in him in that spot. And I don't think the players have the same confidence in the rest of the team that way. So they're tightening up. I think Larinowicz gives you that. So getting Larinowicz back into the middle of the field is very important. Now, though, we wait and see what is wrong with Leandro Gonzalez-Pires. Because if he is out for an extended period of time, I don't like the pairing of Parkhurst and Larinowicz over a long run. Too similar. Neither one has a ton of speed. Maybe you look at Franco Escobar coming in to the middle. He played center back at Newell's Old Boys. He played center back in his last match with Newell's Old Boys against River Plate in the Argentine Superliga. And then Sal Zizo comes in at right back. Do you go to Miles Robinson, who, you know, was your second pick in the draft last year, played very limited minutes last year, hasn't really earned the trust, I think, of the coaching staff yet. But do you have to turn to him? Because you need Jeff Larinowicz in the midfield at this point.
Well, Robinson played a decent amount in the preseason, 108 minutes in the preseason, only 20 years old, was first-team All-ACC at Syracuse, first-ever super draft pick for Atlanta United, was not in the 18 today. In fact, I don't even think he made the trip.
No.
Is Andrew Wheeler-Aminu perhaps someone who could be in the mix now?
At right back, yes. I think Wheeler-Aminu at right back would be the one, but this midfield, I think Jeff Larinowicz in there as the six is the really important piece. We're looking right now at a player who could have been useful today, who retired after last season, Bobby Boswell, back here in Houston with his family, played for the Dynamo for a number of years. You don't have that type of presence. Boswell was brought in last year for the stretch run, decided not to renew his contract, and there isn't really another option at center back right now for this team. So LGP's injury is a huge concern at the moment because it affects a lot of different positions on the field for this group right now.
Yeah, and we don't want to speculate on the nature of LGP's injury. He looked like he either got kicked or forearmed or elbowed in the back, almost in the lower back, like the kidney area. He tried to play through it. He was down for a long time. That's why we had so much added time in the first half. He tried to play through it, but was gimpy throughout, went down again trying to clear, and then was stretchered off the pitch. So we'll just have to wait and see on LGP. I'm sure we will get an update in the next few days. It is somewhat fortunate for Atlanta United. They have an extra day off. They will play next Sunday. It's not like they're going to play next Saturday. So they will get that extra day. I would also point out that after these next two home matches against DC United and Vancouver Whitecaps, Atlanta United will get a week off. And that will not only help the timing with getting Barco back, but if there is a lingering issue with LGP, that will be key. Okay, one more call for questions at Longshoe, at Mike Conti 929, and at ATL Soccer 929. Because in the next segment of the Full-Time Report, nothing but your questions on Twitter. Twitter has become a dark, nasty place this afternoon. But, hey, folks, look, long way to go. Still 33 matches. Atlanta United lost their first match last year, went on to the postseason, set all kinds of records, got the city turned on its ear. A long way to go here in 2018. We know you're frustrated because your expectations are high. That's a good thing. But when we come back to Houston, we will get to your questions on Twitter. The final score again this evening from BBVA Compass Stadium, Houston Dynamo 4-0 over Atlanta United. More of the Full-Time Report next on Sports Radio 92.9. The
Full-Time Report
with Mike Conti and Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta United opens the season with a 4-0 loss this afternoon here in Houston to Houston Dynamo. Welcome back to the Full-Time Report. Now is the part of the show where we take your questions on Twitter, and if you want to keep them coming, they can be sent to at Longshoe. That's Jason's account. My account is at MikeConti929, and the radio station account is at ATLSoccer929. I'll start with this. Not really a question, more of a comment, but I think Richard Chin has made a really good point. He said we, I'm sure meaning Atlanta United, lost nearly every race for the ball on offense and defense, and we both looked at that and nodded approvingly because that is absolutely right.
Yeah, it's a good point, and this is a team that is built on speed. Shouldn't be happening. You have to wonder what's going on here, if there's something to be concerned about. You know, and this takes me to a question from Mark Meyer, where he said, was this Atlanta being flat or outclassed? It's a good question. I think it's a little bit of both today. You know, I think Atlanta was flat, and I think it showed in the attacking half of the field. And I think they were outclassed in parts of the field. I mean, I think Albert Elise is going to outclass a lot of people in this league. I think Mara Manotas up top for Houston makes them a better team. Kubo Torres scored a lot of goals last year, but Kubo Torres is not the complete player that Mauro Manotas is. And Houston showed a lot of resolve when Juan David Cabezas went out early, and he's a key part of this team in the holding midfield. Darwin Serén came in, didn't lose a step. It's very impressive out of the Dynamo today. I think they're going to be around the top of the league for a long time in 2018.
It does seem kind of hard to imagine, though, how a club can come out flat for its season opener, isn't it?
I think that goes back to the whole issue with the Barco injury. It really seemed to shake the confidence of this group. And, I mean, you think back to some of the responses, you know, after training on Thursday, on Media Day, and you look back and you're like, well, maybe there were some questions about how we handle this. And, you know, now we know that there were some questions about Michael Parkhurst's fitness. He did not get the start today. He looked good when he came in. I wonder, you know, what the concern was, because it didn't seem to, you know, be short a step or anything today. But Tito Villalba did not look like Tito Villalba today. You know, when you think back to the limited preseason he had, Franco Escobar, like we said earlier, had good and bad moments. He had a limited preseason. The team really struggled to come out of preseason strong, and I think that's down to the injuries that it had in the preseason, and it just affected the overall chemistry of the group.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite true, and you have to kind of look at the preseason now and divide it and say, well, against USL sides, they were 1-0-1, but they beat Nashville in an off-pitch 3-1, and then as we had talked about last Saturday, it felt like everyone just kind of wanted to go home from Charleston, where mostly second-teamers played against Charleston Battery. You were winless with one loss and one draw against MLS sides, kind of blown out by Columbus Crew, but then you played very well against Minnesota United, and I think that's what the 17s were kind of holding on to. Like, man, that's evidence that you can string some stuff together, string possession together, and really get some good scoring opportunities.
Yeah, you watch that Minnesota game back, and you think it's a team starting to find its feet. And we haven't seen that since. That's not a good thing right now. Hopefully they can find that this week in training. A couple questions on Twitter from Mumco and ATL Trains with a Z about the transfer window. The transfer window for MLS for players coming in is still open. It's open through May 1st. It's a long window at the beginning of the season. Then there's a summer window of a month. That's only for players coming in. And where it's tricky is MLS is the only league in the world right now with that open transfer window for players coming in. So it's a very limited market. You're either looking at players who are out of contract or players who are out of the situation with their team. They're not in the starting lineup. They're not in the 18. Because if a team from England is to sell a player to Atlanta United, they're not able to go out and replace them. So they're not going to sell a player who's a key part of that team. I think if Atlanta United is looking, and Tata Martino gave an answer after training on Thursday that could make you think that they are looking at potential reinforcements, I think they're looking within the league. I think there are some teams that have extra depth in certain positions, and if you're looking at Atlanta United right now, you're probably looking at center back, probably looking in the holding midfield, maybe for another piece, and there are some teams with a stockpile of players in those positions.
So it will be a potentially very busy week or two coming up for Atlanta United from that standpoint. And obviously the LGP injury will have a lot to do with that. We have seen some Twitter reports that LGP has been diagnosed with a right hip contusion and that there's no word on his prognosis with that. But if you've fallen and bruised your hip before, you know how painful that can be.
And you saw Leandro immediately grabbed the hip and really more towards the lower back, and he tried to get up, and it looked like every step was painful. Doug Robertson from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution had that from the post-match press conference. Right hip contusion, no timetable as of yet.
Okay, so that obviously is something that is going to be worth monitoring. Barco is still at least two matches away from coming back, could be longer. If Barco had played today, how different do you think the scoreline would have been?
That leads me right into the question and comment from Embriano Jr. on Twitter. Guys look out of ideas when they get down near the 18 with two stacked lines of defense. It needs to be first touch there with movement to pull defenders, but the final third passes aren't sharp enough, and the speed of thought is still a half second slow. They didn't look ready. That's where Ezekiel Barco comes in. Ezekiel Barco could beat players 1v1 on the dribble and create. It's something Andrew Carlton did in the match against Charleston as well. He was able to be creative. We didn't see that today. And when Houston gets early goals, they're a very tough team to come back on because they're content to start to pack their back four. Then the two holding mids sit. Then the outside mids sit. Then it turns into two lines of four. That's very hard to break down. And then they're so deadly on the counterattack, you don't want to overcommit numbers to try to break that down because Albert Elis, Romel Kyoto, Mara Manotas are going to run all day. Houston is a team that if they get the opening goal, they're an incredibly difficult team to get a result against.
Yeah, well, and that was the case last year.
Mm-hmm.
They had never blown a lead last year and lost. They had blown a couple leads and resulted in draws. But
11-0-4 when scoring the first goal.
And they were so good here at home just to begin with. 17 matches last year in the regular season. They got results in 16 of them. But they scored early in almost kind of an alarming number of those home matches, and that really set them off today. They're a good team. And, you know, I think one thing that we didn't even bring up in the game broadcast, but it becomes a little more relevant now, Houston scored a ton of goals in the preseason, a ton of goals. They had a game, granted, against the USL side where they had 9 goals, and they did not lose in the preseason in the run of play. They did lose a match to New England Revolution in penalties. So I know a lot of the attention has been cast upon Atlanta United, and this is an Atlanta United broadcast, but I think we saw a signal today that Houston Dynamo, what they did in the preseason was not a fluke.
We saw a signal today that a lot of the conversation nationally has been teams starting to pull away from the pack in Major League Soccer, and Toronto, Atlanta, New York City FC, Seattle, Portland to a degree. The Galaxy, when they are strong, are big teams. And other teams in smaller markets have a problem competing. I think Wilmer Cabrera would laugh if you said that to him. Because he has one of the lowest payrolls in the league here in Houston, and he's built a team that can compete with anybody. They are very organized. They know what they're trying to do. They play within themselves. But they also have some players like Elis and Kyoto when he's on, and Manotas and Cabezas, who we didn't even see much today, who are special players. He was able, in a limited budget situation, to go get special players. Anybody in this league can do that. There are players out there. It shows that it's not all about the money in this league. And Wilmer Cabrera has been able to have this group together, get ready for this season, try to remake them a little bit, try to add some elements, add some wrinkles, but he's shown that what good coaching can do in this league. And Atlanta United, with the preseason they had, I think the final one I'd want to get to from Twitter, Jay Kalani Prescott, defensive mistakes lost today. Mistakes can be fixed. Atlanta actually moved the ball pretty well, created opportunities. Houston is good, especially at home. Depth is still an issue. Finishing wasn't good. Can't wait until this team is fully fit.
Yes.
Tata Martino has not been able to have the team as organized as Wilmer Cabrera did today.
No doubt about it, because they've been healthy through their preseason. And they played a lot more matches, too. Mm-hmm. They played 7 preseason matches. Atlanta United played 4 in a closed-door match, but we don't even know really who played in that one.
That's a really good point. That's something I will be curious to see if it changes. Atlanta, both preseasons, only played a handful of matches. Dallas this preseason played a lot of matches. We didn't see it look so good in CONCACAF Champions League. We'll see tonight against Real Salt Lake. Houston played a lot of matches, and they're flying right now.
Right. So, yeah, certainly maybe a philosophical change going forward for Atlanta United. But a more immediate concern right now, the home opener a week from tomorrow against DC United at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And when we wrap up the full-time report after this, we'll look ahead to that DC United match and what lineup changes, if any, we might see for Atlanta United a week from tomorrow, because they have work to do and things to fix after a 4-0 loss to Houston Dynamo this afternoon. We'll wrap it all up from Houston right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
MLS in Atlanta.
And we are your official station for all things Atlanta United.
WZGC Atlanta, WZGC HD1.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. back to the Full Time Report
with Mike Conti and Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Jeff Benedict will be in at the top of the hour to continue the discussion. I'm sure some of it will have to do with Atlanta United after this 4-0 loss to Houston Dynamo this afternoon. Jason Longshore and I have been kind of staring off into space during commercial breaks here because this was just, this was a blowout. This was a rout today. You feel like Atlanta United is a lot better than this, but I'll go back to something that we said a little bit earlier. 17s. Atlanta United needs you right now. We're hoping for 70,000 people next Sunday. With DC United coming into the Benz for the home opener, because this is going to be a very, very tough match. Yamil Assad now on DC United, a team that had a lot of success last year against Atlanta United, and I'm going to be fascinated to see what the 11 will look like this time next week, because obviously some changes are going to have to be made.
Yamil Assad in the starting lineup for DC United tonight in Orlando. That match will kick off in about 30 minutes. DC had some travel problems, so it'll be very curious to see, you know, how they look against Orlando and then what kind of momentum they bring into the Benz next week. But the MVP today for Atlanta United were the fans who were here. Just blew me away how many Five Stripes jerseys we saw all day, from the airport in Atlanta to here in Houston, downtown Houston, around the hotel. And about 80th minute, 4-0 down, they're doing the Viking clap, and you can hear them over anyone else in the stadium. That's an amazing performance, and they deserve better today.
So you said 200 fans?
200
so
plus, 200, at least.
Maybe we'll say maybe 500, 700. Yeah. So we'll get that times 10 next Sunday with DC United at the Benz. Where do you construct the lineup from here? What changes would you make?
I think you have to get Jeff Lorenowitz in the midfield. I think we see how important he is to the midfield. He's just the glue that holds all of this together. We have to find out what is the prognosis for Leandro Gonzalez-Pires and how you solve that problem. You hope Michael Parkhurst, with a good performance today, is ready to go 90 and can resume his spot in the starting lineup. Then how do you solve it? Is it Escobar sliding inside, assuming LGP is out, with Zizo coming in at right back, or Wheeler Amenu had a great performance at right back against Charleston? You need to find the chemistry. You need to get players together on the field who have chemistry together. You need to find that. Those little societies on the field that we talk about a lot with this team, it didn't look like they were there today at all. There was just no connection between players we usually see a connection with. Martinez and Almiron, multiple times on breakaways, you saw a pass behind, a pass a step slow, misreading it. We've got to build that back up. Build that back up, then this team has a basis to stand on. Even without Barco, they have players who can make things happen. We didn't see that today. We need a big response next week from the squad, because there's going to be a lot of questions all week around this league as to what's wrong with Atlanta United. They have to have an answer next week.
And that answer hopefully will come at 3 p.m. next Sunday. That